Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 6. In verse 28, the disciples said to Jesus, "What shall we do that we may do the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God." Pay attention to this, you're going to need to know it. This is the work of God. This is what God asks of you. Believe on Him that wasn't God. That's the pizza shop. I know pizza shops may seem like heaven, but they're not. Gracie got that. Okay. This is what God is looking for from us. That we believe Him. Sit right there. That we believe Him. God is not looking for us to be perfect. It's a good thing. God is not even looking for what we do so much. God is looking for us to believe Him. That's what He wants. If you believe Him, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. I need a big magnet. Okay. If you believe Him, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. That's what God's looking for. Do you believe Him? Now, sometimes we say we believe Him, but we don't. We think we do. If you believe God, you're going to respond to Him. As simple as that. If you believe Him, you're going to respond to Him. Everybody decides according to what they believe. You go and you make a decision, and you decide according to what you believe. We always decide what we believe. We always decide according to what we believe is best for us, in some way or another. And so, if I believe Him, then I will make His decisions. In other words, then I'll make the decisions that He wants. And that simply comes by believing Him. That's what we need to worry about. We don't need to worry about anything else. We need to worry about believing God. And that's not a whole lot to worry about. It's very easy to believe God. But that's all He asks for. Now that word believe, that's not kind of like I believe something, but I'm not really sure. That word believe is actually I trust Him and I'm confident in it. That's what He's looking for. When I was on a jury several years ago, the judge tells you that you decide based on reasonable doubts. And if you have a reasonable doubt, then the person who's being accused, you cannot say they are guilty. If you have a reasonable doubt. And the judge defined that for the jury, and I think he did a very good job with us. He said, a reasonable doubt is like this. Say that you have decided to buy something expensive. Maybe a car or a house or something that's very expensive. But you learn something about it and it causes you to change your mind after you've decided to do it. That's a reasonable doubt. At that point where you know that you will not change your mind, that's confidence. So when God says, believe me, He's saying, be confident in me. What He's saying is, trust me to the point where you won't change your mind about trusting me. That's what He's saying. Trust me to the point where you won't change your mind about trusting me. Then you're doing what God wants you to do. Then you're doing the works of God. It's very simple. You see, in myself, I'm not able to do much of anything. I mean, I can't pick up more than really a relatively few pounds. If you asked me to pick up the car out there, I would have a really hard time with that. And really, the car is not that heavy because it can drive over a bridge and the bridge has no problem holding it up. But if you put something tremendously heavy on the bridge, then the bridge wouldn't be able to hold it up. So clearly, my car is not all that heavy, but I can't pick up my car. You see, the point of that is this. There's not a whole lot we can do, but when we trust God, He does things for us. And even the things that He says He wants us involved in, that's called the call of God. The things that He wants us involved in, He's really bringing us along to participate with Him, but He's really the one who's doing all the work. Have you guys ever noticed this? This is particularly true like in first and second grade, and maybe even a little bit older, but not too much older. You're in art class. And let's say the teacher says, okay, draw this drawing. And you ask the teacher for help. And the teacher basically draws the drawing for you and lets you kind of participate, but really the teacher's doing all the work. And then you go home and you show it to your mom, look what I drew. And the teacher says, yes, that's right, look what you drew. Look what you did. But in reality, often, at least at that age, the teacher really does a lot of that artwork for you. But you get to get the credit. You know, God's kind of the same way. When you believe God and God starts doing things for you, He's really the one who's doing it, but because you're allowed to participate, you get rewards for it. You get credit for it. As though you were the one doing it, even though it was really God who was doing it for you. It's a good thing God's doing it for you because we have no ability to do it ourselves. Do you have the ability to change really anything? And how much do you have the ability to change? Well, I have ability to change my pants. Good. And you should. But do you have the ability really to do much beyond that? And the answer is no. I mean, I like football. And when the Ravens are losing, you're frustrated because you know you have no ability to change that. And they lose and you're looking at them and say, I wish I could help you guys, but come on, offensive line, give the quarterback a little time and please, quarterback, throw it to the receiver and not behind him. But you have no ability to change that. The amazing thing is that God in situations like that does have the ability to change that. And sometimes when He's working on behalf of a Christian, which is all the time, but I mean sometimes in the world, He does change things. Let me give you an example. This happened a few years ago. This is a little bit of a dramatic example. Our examples They're equally true, but not as dramatic, thank God. There was a war going on, and Israel was at war with one of its enemies. And the enemy of Israel was firing rockets at Israel, missiles. And they were firing at places where people live. And that's really dangerous, and that was the idea, that it's really dangerous. They wanted to kill a lot of the people in Israel. Why? Because they were wicked. And so, they're firing these rockets, and all of the rockets went off course. Not one of the rockets actually hit in the place where it was intended to hit. When those rockets were fired, they would always hit where there was nobody. Let's say an empty field somewhere. And they would land in this empty field. And the generals were very frustrated, and a reporter asked one of the generals, "What's wrong with your rockets? None of them is landing where you wanted them to land. What's wrong with your rockets?" And the general said, "There's nothing wrong with our rockets. Their God is throwing them off course." And you know what? He was absolutely right. God does that for us all the time. God makes things happen for us. And it's very practical, real things. And He'll do it according to our needs. Let me give you another example. True story. There were two young guys. Now, young guys compared to you is probably seems old, but they were still young guys compared to me, and I'm 12. There were two young guys, and they were in a boat on a lake, and they were moving very fast, much faster than they should have been moving, and they didn't see a rock, and they hit the rock, and the rock, of course, was out of the water. Right? If it was a tiny rock, it really wouldn't have made that much difference. But this was a big rock, and it was projecting out of the water. And they hit this rock, which was obviously a very bad accident. And they hit so hard that they flew into the air, like 30 or 40 feet into the air. And an angel came, one for each of the guys, and they made sure that the guys did not land in the water, but instead the angels carried them to the shore. Because if they had landed in the water, they probably would have drowned. So the angels grabbed them and they carried them to the shore. Both of those guys had the same thing happen to them. An angel carried them to the shore. There was no way they could have landed on the shore from where they were in the lake. But an angel carried them to the shore. That's how God works for us. If that's what's necessary, then that's what will happen. God is always taking care of you. You can always believe Him. You can always trust Him because He's living inside of you and He is interested in you and He's always taking care of you. He'll never stop taking care of you. And so you don't have to ever be afraid to trust God because God is always active on your behalf. He's always working for you and in you and taking care of you and providing for you and giving you everything that you need to be just fine. Now, sometimes things will come into your life that are difficult. You can have difficult things come in for two basic reasons. One, you make mistakes and they become difficult in their outcome. Okay. In that situation, I run to God and He fixes my mistake. But the other difficult thing is that sometimes God plans difficult things. And the reason is because difficult things cause us to grow. He doesn't want us to be spoiled. He doesn't want us to be bratty. He wants us to develop into mature, strong, godly, well-thinking Christians. And a part of that process can be difficult things. When the difficult things come, and they will come in one way or another, they will come. Whether it's something like difficult time in school or a difficult time in life, they will eventually come. You can still trust God. He'll take you right through those difficult things. You don't have to panic. You don't have to change your life. You don't have to stop what you're doing or start something you weren't doing. You just trust Him and continue in those things that are right with Him. Just continue in what you were doing all along. Because what God is after, and this is part of how we grow, is for us to get to know more and more that we can trust Him. And so He says, you can trust me for your life generally, but you can also trust me for things like money. You can trust me for things like friends, for a husband or a wife in the future. You can trust me for all the parts of your life. Now, I had a friend years ago. He was 44 years old. And he got cancer. Now, 44 for cancer is still a quite young age. But he got cancer at 44. And his cancer was really bad. It was everywhere. And my pastor came to see him. He was also his pastor. His name was Tony. And our pastor came to see him, and he asked him, how are you doing? And Tony said to Pastor, he said, Pastor, I'm getting to know God in this situation. What he was learning is that he could trust Him even when he's deathly ill. And that's a tough situation to trust Him in. But that's what he was learning. And the reason why he was learning that is because ultimately God's goal for us is that we would know Him very, very well. Just like you would know a friend really, really well. God's goal for us is that we would know Him really well. And that means He's going to arrange situations sometimes, both good and what seems like bad, both easy and difficult, both happy and sad. He arranges both of them so that we can get to know Him under those types of circumstances. You can know people when things are easy, when everything is fun. But when everything is bad, sometimes people change and you find they weren't who you thought they were. Well, God wants you to know Him both when it's easy and when it's hard, when it's fun and when it's sad, in all circumstances, because that's where you really get to know Him. If you trust Him, you'll get to know Him. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.